Best Dinner Ever. Hopefully you've seen that movie, and maybe hopefully you haven't. I don't know. So we started a series a few weeks ago, Why I Quit. It's the idea of we didn't necessarily quit intentionally, but we've quit different things in our life. And most of the time it's because unintentional living. We just go through life and, you know, we want to attend church. And how many of you work 6 days a week? Anybody in here work 6 days a week, get one day off? You know, how many work 5 days a week? You know, you work on Saturday at the house and, you know, really Sunday's your only day off. And so, you know, you got up this morning, maybe you're online this morning, you think, I think I need a down day. I need a day just to myself. And so you take a day off, and there's nothing wrong with that. Until next week, you say, I really enjoyed it last week, and, I'm going to take another day off, and then I'm going to take another day off, and then I'm going to take another day off, and then 5 years down the road, you got kids. Kids are old enough, and you go, the kids probably ought to be in church. I know how important that is. You didn't mean to quit, but somewhere along the lines, you quit church. And, how many of you remember back when you first decided to follow Jesus, the excitement, the tenacity, realizing how much God has forgiven you and how much grace he has for you and how much love he has for you. You want to share that with everybody. And then, through the ages, it just kind of wears off and you don't think about it too much more. And so you quit evangelizing. And then, when you first start getting to a place, maybe it's your first or second or third week here, you're thinking, man, I'd love to serve here. Maybe not after this sermon, but, you want to serve here. And you realize, let's do this. Let's do this. And you get a part of the team, and you start serving, and you do different things. And then, you get burnt out. And so you quit serving. Well, this morning we're going to talk about community. And community is something a lot of people don't want to talk about because somewhere in their life they've been hurt by a community, they've been traumatized by a community, they've never tried a community, but they heard all the horror stories about community. What are you talking about community? Groups. Why'd you quit groups? Well, I don't know. Let me just start out by saying this. There's roughly about 620 people in the last 5 weeks here on a Sunday. We have 310 people that are involved in 40 different groups right now, so a little over 50% of the actual number of people that attend in an average of 5 weeks. And you think, well, that's pretty good. I mean, it really is. That's pretty good when the national average is around 30%. We're running around 53%, actually. That's really good. Why do you want to talk on this? Well, there's a reason we want to talk on this. There's a reason that this comes up, because the reason is this is the way that God, we believe that God has chosen to transform lives. You come in here on a Sunday morning and some schmuck's up here talking to you, right? It's usually not me. Pastor Steve's not here. He's in Nicaragua. Hopefully you don't see that one. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But, we stand up here and we talk and we share, and you don't get a chance to talk because we're not going to talk to you. That usually doesn't go real well. And so, it's just it's like a lecture in school. How many like going to school and being lectured all the time? Hopefully this doesn't come across as a lecture, but I mean, it's kind of the same thing, isn't it? And so when you get into small groups, it's where you can interact, where you can ask questions, and you can make mistakes, and you can struggle with life, and everybody in your group is struggling with life, and that's where transformation takes place. In fact, there's a statement that says, circles, not rows, is where the best place to grow. Let me say it again, circles, not rows, is the best place to grow. See, this is rows. You just have to sit here and listen, or you could get up and leave. Anyway, but when you get into a small group, when you get into a setting where it's more intimate, where just you and the people that are walking with you and that are journeying together, you have this opportunity to live life a little bit differently, a little honestly, a little more open. Like most of you aren't going to come up here and tell everybody your dirty laundry. Us as a staff, we're going to come up here and tell you everything that we've done wrong. Why? Because we want to be authentic in our life. And if we're authentic, that gives you permission to be authentic. But you're not ready to get up here and do it yet. And that's okay. I'm not saying you should. But in a small group setting where you know and trust people, you will open up more and more and more the more that you journey together. And so that's what we believe in. Hebrews chapter 10, I'll summarize 19 through 23. The writer says this, since we have confidence through Jesus, the very same Jesus who is our high priest, the Jesus who cleanses us our guilty conscience, the Jesus who washes away our sins. Because we have that confidence in that Jesus, let us draw near to God and hold tightly to the hope we confess, knowing he is faithful. And so that entire passage talks about this vertical relationship that we have with God, this vertical relationship that we have with Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done, we can trust and know, and we can pour our hearts out to them. We have this vertical relationship. But let me just be very clear. God didn't put us here just for a vertical relationship. He put us here for a horizontal relationship as well. And so the writer then goes into verse 24, and this is what it says. And he says, let us consider, Pastor Alex actually covered this. He was running all over stage that day. I think he just got back from camp or something. He says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And he talked all about how we spur, how we encourage, how we push, how we prompt, how we prod each other to do greater and greater things. In the next verse, it says this, not giving up meeting together, as some of y'all are in the habit of doing. It's not a new problem. It's not a new dynamic. They were struggling in those days. Life happens. It comes at us every week. We don't have a choice with that. Things happen every single week, and life comes at us. And so there are times in our life where we just give up meeting together. It's maybe not intentional. Maybe it is intentional. But we just choose to give up. And when we choose to give up, when we choose not to meet together, you can say, well, he's talking about worship there. Yeah, I think he is talking about worship there, but I think he's talking about more than worship there. Where do you get that from? In the beginning of Acts, he says this. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, the church is just beginning. The Holy Spirit has recently come, and the preaching has been changing lives, and they're gathering and gathering. And the reality is during this time was a festival time. And so they had all these groups of people in Jerusalem that they weren't from there. And so it wasn't like now. They didn't have a hotel, Motel 6. They didn't leave the light on. They didn't have the local inn. They didn't have all these things to house all these people. And so people weren't leaving because what God was doing in Jerusalem. And so they hung out. And so it says this, they devoted themselves to teaching and to eating. I like devoting myself to eating and to prayer. And they met in the temple courts and in homes, and they broke bread in their homes. And here's the phenomenal piece. Because of what they were doing, not just vertically with God, but horizontally with people, they all resulted in a sincere heart, and they had favor with all people. Can you imagine if we had such a relationship with God vertically that our horizontal relationships were in such a space that we had a sincere heart, that we were real, that we weren't fake, that we were who we said we were. We had favor with all people. Do you know what would happen? The same thing that happened in that day. And God was adding unto the church day by day those believing in him. That's an amazing thing. But it wasn't just a Sunday thing. It was a day by day, meeting in homes, breaking bread, having lunch, having dinner, doing all these other things. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 44, and all the believers were together and had all things in common. We'll talk about more of that. It's a physical thing, material thing, but I think it was more than that. You ever meet with a group of people long enough you really get to know them? And the more you're with them, the more you get to know them, the more you realize you all got the same problems. You all just as jacked up as the next person? You with me? And you realize you really have all things in common? We actually had a group a few years ago. It just turned out this way. One couple wasn't married yet. One couple was about 10 years. One couple was about 20 years. One couple was about 30 years. And just this various stages of marriage and not quite married. And we had been together for about 9 or 10 months. And one of the guys looked at me and he said, you know what? Here's one thing I've learned in this group. We all got the same problems. Some of us just got more experience in screwing up the problem. Yes, I do. Anyway, but you know, it's just the reality. So let me just ask you a question. If we had a vertical relationship and we had these horizontal relationships and everything was working the way that God designed it to work, and we had all this momentum, we had all this energy, we had all this movement, we had all this community, why wouldn't you want to be a part of that? And if God has done it in the past, don't you think he can do it in the present? Why wouldn't we want to be a part of that? So now back to the clip. If, by chance, you have been to a dinner for winners with some extraordinary people, and it turned out like that, run. But my guess is that's never really happened. My guess is we've conjured up the idea that, you know, they're all out to get me. We've conjured up the idea that, you know, they did that just in spite. We've come to the place in our life where it's all about us, and everything that they're doing is because of me. The reality is, this really doesn't happen. It might, but doesn't happen here. Our table groups aren't like that, I promise. If they are, you let me know. They won't be one of our table groups anymore. We will have grace and mercy, but never mind. Unless you've had that experience, you really have no excuse not to be a part of a community. And even if you've had that experience, name me one other place in your life where one bad experience has led you to forfeit that from your life for all eternity. How many of you had ever had a bad experience going out to eat? Come on, show of hands. How many of you still go out to eat? You hypocrites, you sinners, right? Right? It's just the way we are. We pick and choose our bad experiences and what they're going to mean to us in our life. And so I don't have time to cover all of them. I just want to cover a few of the prominent excuses for why I quit groups, or why I won't start a group, or why I won't be involved in a group. The first few are going to be scripturally backed up. The others I'm just going to flow through because I don't have time to do all of that. But here's one of the biggest ones. I didn't get anything out of it. So let me just stop you right there. So is Jesus the one that we're following? All right, outside of the miracles, because you can't do those. Outside of the miracles, shouldn't we do what Jesus did? What was the very first thing that Jesus did when he started his ministry, besides turn water into wine? All right, don't go there. He gathered 12 men and created a community small group. 12 men. One of them stabbed him in his back, and he knew from the beginning that was going to happen, and yet he still did it. Let me ask you this question. What was Jesus going to get from these 12 men that he didn't already have? Nothing, exactly. What were these 12 men going to do for Jesus that Jesus couldn't do for himself? Nothing. So let me just ask you a question. Is "I didn't get anything out of it" going to hold water when you see Jesus? Because isn't Jesus going to look at you and say, "I didn't get anything out of it either, except 3 nails and a spear"? Just saying. But it's still a valid excuse that we hear. It's still valid that we hear it. And it comes out in this way. It was too basic. Let me just say this. If you think it was too basic, maybe you were not there for yourself. How many of you, don't show your hands because people might flock to you, but just in your mind, how many of you are financially well off? And if you sat through a Dave Ramsey course on financial peace, would say, "This is too basic"? And how many of you that in your mind would say, "This is too basic," would not look around the room to all the people that are struggling and say, "Maybe I'm not here for myself, but maybe I'm here for them to help them be more financially sound"? Because let me just ask you a question. If you're financially sound, how much peace do you have in your life? And if you look at other people that are not financially sound, how much turmoil is in their life? And so maybe we're looking at this from a wrong perspective. Maybe it is too basic. But maybe you're not there but to help somebody else along on this journey. Because you see, we're all on the same journey. We all have the same issues. We've all experienced very similar issues in our life. And so there's a scripture that kind of backs this up. Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 26. There's a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria. He comes to Ephesus. He was a learned man with thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord and spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he didn't know everything, but he missing something. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Now, let me just ask you a question. If Priscilla and Aquila had taken the stance, "I'm not getting anything out of this," would Apollos have ever been taught a more accurate way, a more adequate way? You see, maybe the group isn't just about you. But maybe you are there for the group to teach them more adequately the things of life, the things of God. You see, we have groups of all sorts. It is full, but you could text me. We have a dance group. We're going to dance here on Tuesday nights. And you're like, what? What does that have to do with God? Well, David danced in his underwear, but that's a different story. We're not doing that, so I don't want to scare you off. But do you know that dance, in order to communicate on the dance, you have to be able to communicate without any words? And if you can communicate on a dance floor without any words, how much better is your communication in life? Let me just tell you, it's drastically better. We have a financial peace course. I can't come in person. That's good because it's online. You can't come in person. We have women's groups. We have men's group. We have men's outdoor groups. There's a group for everything. And if you don't see a group that you want, then just let us know. We'll create a group with you as a leader. A little scary, right? Remember, we're all jacked up. So anyway, but, you know, if these two can take Apollos off to the side and more accurately explain the Word of God, how much more should we be taking each other off to the side and helping each other on this journey, because we're all in this journey together? It was over my head. Wait, come on. It was too basic. It was over my head. Maybe there's someone there that needed an opportunity to step up. Have you ever thought, because you go into a place, I mean, don't get me wrong, I know it's intimidating. You come in this Monday nights and Pastor Steve is teaching a bunch of group of men and they haven't been there before, so they don't know the shenanigans that we have. And, you know, it's a little intimidating to come in there and sit and quote, have a pastor teach you. Whatever. He's just a human. I'm just a human. We're all just human. It's just reality. But I understand the intimidating part. And sometimes it's hard to get to know people and to ask questions. But here's what I want you to understand. If you're there and it's over your head, stay there. Because there's probably there somebody who needs to step up and help you on your journey. So it doesn't matter whether it's too basic or over your head. There's somebody there that needs to be there. Watch this. In Acts chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. Philip, being led by the Holy Spirit, he chases down this chariot, which is, there's all kinds of miraculous things in this verse that I don't understand. And Philip runs and he catches up with the chariot and he heard this man reading Isaiah the prophet. How many are reading a car? I mean, I can't do it. I get car sick. But I mean, you're reading a car. We got all kinds of technology. How smooth is that ride, right? The words are right there. They don't move. Can you imagine trying to read in a chariot? I don't get it. But he's reading in a chariot, and Philip catches up with a chariot. That's just all kinds of things for here. And Philip says this to the guy. He says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? I don't understand the words on the page. Anyway, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I? Unless someone explains it to me. And so he invited Philip to sit in the chariot and explain the Word of God to him. I mean, how nice would it be if you're struggling in life and you're struggling with whatever the topic is, and somebody comes along to you, alongside of you, who recognizes this and says, hey, you know what? Let me walk with you for a season and show you a better way to live, show you how to overcome this, show you where to go in this, show you how to make this a better part of your life. How much would you be appreciative of that person that was willing to do that? You see, it took both the novice and the learned to make progress. If you didn't get anything out of it, or if it was over your head, or it wasn't for you, maybe you just had the wrong perspective. This is Pastor April's favorite point. It was too people-y. So I don't know the guy's name, the little Baby Yoda memes. Anybody on Facebook see the little Baby Yoda memes? That's one he says, I was going to go out today, but it's too people-y out there. Here's a statement that used to go around a lot. I haven't heard it much lately, but it says, I love the church. I just struggle with the people. It's like saying, I love your family. I just don't like your spouse. Let me tell you a little secret. My spouse had something to do with my family coming into being. How can you love my family and hate my spouse? How can you say you love the church and yet you hate the people? You see, this building isn't the church. Those of you who are sitting here following Jesus, you're the church. And if you're ever going to say, I love the church, I struggle with the people, you got issues. You got to be like me. You got to quit saying that. So underneath that, there's a couple of sub-points. People are so fake, they're not honest. They're not real. They're wearing masks. You ever make that statement? You ever say that about somebody? They're just hypocrites. How many of you just said you had a struggle with a restaurant and yet you still go out to eat? Right? So we're all hypocrites. Let's just get that straight. But there's two bookends in the scriptures that cover this. And here's what I want to say as we cover these bookends. You're always going to have fake people. You're always going to have people that are not real. You're always going to have hypocrites. You just be you, the you that God created you to be. And let everything else up to God. You just be you. And let God deal with this. And again, these are the bookends. This is what always happens. This is not what's going, you know, it's not cut in stone. These are just examples. So in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Ananias' fire. This is in that early days where they were having all things in common. It was such a great need. They were literally selling their property. They were selling their possessions, and they were bringing the money and laying it before the apostles' feet and saying, use this for the common good of all people. And so you got to realize you had all these extra people in town, and they had no place to stay. They didn't bring anything. They just brought enough to make it for a couple of weeks, and they were supposed to go home, but they won't leave. You know how it is when you have people over the house, they won't leave. And they just stay. And so these people were selling stuff, and they were bringing it before the apostles and saying, you know, use this for the common good. Can you imagine the notoriety, the recognition that these people were getting, that were willing to do this, that they were willing to sacrifice what they owned and for the common good of other people? Or is this one couple that they were like, oh, that's pretty neat. I like the recognition. But you see, in the back of their minds, they devised a scheme. They say, I'm going to use some numbers. These numbers aren't in Scripture. We have a piece of property. Let's sell this piece of property for $50,000. Nothing wrong with that. It's your property. You do with it what you want. But we're going to tell the church, and we're going to bring the church $20,000, and we're going to tell the church we sold it for $20,000. So that's what they did. The husband comes in. He tells the lie. Leader looks at him and says, because you've lied to the Holy Spirit, he's going to take your life. Dead he was. A little bit later, mama comes in, she tells the same story, she has no clue her husband's dead, tells the same story, same thing, dead. What was the issue? They were fake. They wanted all the notoriety, but none of the sacrifice. It was theirs to do what they want. They could have come in and said, hey, we sold our property, we sold it for 50, here's 20, we want to bless God, we want the people to be, and that would have been fine, but they put on a mask. They were fake people, and God said, I'll require your life of you today. Does that always happen? This place would be empty. You with me? It'd be empty. Here's another one. Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer from Samaria. Say that a bunch of times. For his whole life, he had amazed the people in Samaria with his magician's act. Hand is quicker than the eye. You know, he's amazed people. And he knows he's amazed them. But he's amazed them to the point where they've believed him, and they called him this, the great power of God. Simon the sorcerer, the great power of God. What a schmuck. You would think he was making mice. Anyway, you'll get it. And so along comes Philip into Samaria, and he says, wait a second. He's not the great power of God. The great power of God is Jesus. Jesus is the one who lived, who died, who was raised from the dead, who now lives so that you might have a relationship with God. And people started believing that the great power of God was Jesus. What do you think happens to Simon? All his notoriety's gone. So it says in verse 13, Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. This guy's actually doing this stuff. It's not fake. Then the apostles come along. Now look, I'm not going to debate this. I'm not going to talk about this. I'm just going to read the scripture. The apostles come along. And it says, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also the ability to so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Let me just ask you a question. Was Simon really a believer, or did he just want this power? I don't have the answer to that question. But here's what I will say. I'm not going to read the rest of it, but here's what I'll say. His life was not required of him. In fact, he apologizes in some form or fashion. He asks for forgiveness in some form or fashion. And the leaders of that day led him on. Let me ask you a question. You ever do anything wrong? You ever ask for forgiveness? Forgiveness given to you? You know what we call that? Our journey. Because we all going to do something wrong. We all going to be in this life doing not the right thing. We all going to be a part of this life that just doesn't go right. It just doesn't go where we want it to go all the time. And we journey together. You ever see businesses that throw mud at each other? Yeah, I don't get it. Politicians, they throw mud at each other. I don't get it. Do you know what happens when the tide comes in? All the boats rise. Do you know what happens if we will get together and journey with one another and help each other and lead each other and walk with each other and keep going with each other? You know what's going to happen? We're all going to get better. And you know what's going to happen when we're all going to get better? Other people are going to recognize it, and God's going to add unto the church day by day those being saved. It's happened once. It'll happen again. We just have to believe it. We just have to do it. Here's another one. It got too personal. People are too real. This is one of my personal favorites, one of my personal experiences. Kelly and I were part of a different church on the peninsula for years. We had started a small group up there, and we had been with this group for years. And then, long story short, we started a church with that group and some more people. And there was a couple in there that we thought that we really believed they were some of our best friends. And we thought at some point he would be an elder, just that type of person. And we finally, you guys do know, you don't open up to a group right off the bat and tell them everything. You know that? You get to know them, you get to trust them, you get to walk with them, and then you slowly start telling your stuff to them, right? Everybody follow me? So we've been with them for years. I had a mask on nobody knew about. I'll tell you about that someday. Some of you already know it. And I didn't talk to anybody about it. Nobody knew it. Not even my wife knew about it. And so I felt like, you know, I wanted to open up a little bit. And so I started to open up to him. And we had been in the military, so we learned not to make friends because they all move away. And so we were really doing something out of our norm. We started making friends with this couple. And come to find out, on many levels, that wasn't healthy. So my wife's not she is better now, but she's not a morning person. Like, she used to get up at 9. It's just who she is. I'm not throwing stones, just who she is. This wife of this gentleman we thought were our friends became very controlling, very possessive. If you don't call me by 9, I'm going to be mad at you. I'm sorry, you don't write my paycheck. Like, I'm not joking. It was bad. And the more I opened up, the more he was repelled by who I really was. One of the things that we honor here is authenticity. What you see is what you get. That's why all of the pastors here will tell you everything about our life from this point. Because when we tell you what we've been through, we give you license and authority to talk about it. Because most of the time, there's somebody in this room that's gone through what I've been through, and they just need to know there's a place they can have a conversation about it. And so we're very authentic. We're very open. And if I can't be open and authentic, then I can't heal. And if I can't heal, then you probably won't be able to either. You see, when we can be real, when we can be open and authentic, that gives us license to begin to heal from the things that have hurt us throughout the years. And so it just became one of those things where, you know, it just didn't work out. They left the church, took 50 people with them. Just a nightmare. But to this day, I don't hold any grudges against them because they're on the same journey that I'm on. And they're trying to get to Jesus just like I'm trying to get to Jesus. And we love them no different. It's just an amazing thing. Living in a community of people, we all need to be real, because when we are real, we can begin to heal. I mean, let me tell you this. How many of you have ever had a conversation, when I was talking about this in the first service, somebody in the front row was like, oh. How many of you have ever had a conversation, and when you revealed something, the other person had this look of utter horror on their face? Like, how in the world? Yeah, exactly. That's the look. How in the world could you say that? How in the world could you share that? I call it your shocked face. If you're going to be in a small group and you're going to help people on the journey, you got to work on your shocked face. I'm going to give you an example of this. So I'm a prankster. I like to have fun. We have our granddaughters on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and I will always look for the opportunities. That's what my papa did, and so I just want to honor him with this. And so the other day, we're sitting out at the pool. Kids are swimming. The girls are swimming, and Kelly and I, and this bird flies over. We're trying to figure out what it is. It looks like a blue jay, but it's black and gray, and we're trying to figure it out. And so we think we finally figured it out, and Kelly pulls it up on Google. You know, every now and again, you find something like that, and you button it, and it'll tell you how it sounds like. And so push the button. We're listening to the chirping noise, the bird noise, and I'm like, so push it again. And at that point, I realized Hallie, our oldest granddaughter, is on the diving board, and she's doing this. And it runs for about 20 seconds. So it would quit, and I'd push it again. So she got off the diving board. She walks around the other side. She gets up on the lounge chairs, and she's looking over the crest of the house, and she can't see anything. And as soon as it stops, I'm pushing it again. And she is just... So she comes around the pool. Kelly and I are sitting in a couple of chairs, and she comes walking up, and she's literally right in front of me. And I push the button, and she's... And then she realizes it's coming out of my hand. She was like, just utter shock and terror and humor. Because she knows me. And she goes, "Papa, that wasn't funny. That wasn't nice." But it was kind of funny. I wish I could have videoed her, but I would have had to stop the noise, so I couldn't do that. Because her face was a perfect example of what I'm talking about. When you get into a group where you're journeying together, where you trust people and you start opening up to them, you open it up because it's safe. If somebody opens up and starts sharing something with you and you put on this shock, utter horror face, you've just destroyed the safety of that group. We have to realize what we're doing is allowing people the opportunity to heal. And we have to work on our shocked face. As funny as it is, as scary as it is, as crazy it is, you got to look like it's normal. Like you knew it was coming. And when they leave, you can scream, you can holler, you can do whatever you need to do at that point, but not while they sit there. Because they feel safe in your presence. They feel safe enough to open up. And we need to understand that that's what part of this journey is. I don't have enough time to do all this. I didn't like people. It was uncomfortable. I'm going to skip that one. Life just happened, and I don't know why. That's the one where we're just living unintentional lives. We're just going through the motions. We're just doing whatever. And unintentional living will always lead in unintentional results. And if you just want to coast through this life, understand, I'm not throwing any stones at you. Just do what you want to do. If you just want to coast through this life, you're going to miss out on so much what God has designed for you. You see, God wants you to be the best version of you He created you to be. When we're not purposeful, when we're not intentional, when we're not making decisions for a healthy lifestyle, a purposeful journey will always default to drifting. And drifting will never lead you to an intentional destination. You'll just end up somewhere. And when you get there, you might be disappointed. Just reality. God created you for a journey, not a solo journey, but a journey where you interact with all kinds of people. Trust me. People you will impact you and people that you will impact. And when we live intentionally, and part of that intentionality is for us to be together, we grow and we reap blessings. Here, I'm going to end with these two thoughts. Don't allow the actions of others to change who God created you to be. Don't use others as an excuse not to become the person that God wants you to be. And then, don't allow the actions of others to prevent you from becoming all God created you to be. Who they are and what they do has no bearing on who you are and what God wants from you. You just got to live with it. Jesus lived with Judas right up until the end. And if Jesus could do that with him, and I know that's the Jesus card. I'm not dumb to that, and I'm not pie in the sky. You're not going to get along with everybody. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, we're here together. Whether we like it or not, this is what God wants for us. I'll end with this story. This is my favorite excuse that somebody told me. Years ago, I was leading a small group. Actually, before I even knew what small groups were, you know, we didn't always call them small groups. We always had groups of people that hung out together. And we would study, we would laugh, we'd joke, we'd kind of live life. He would come to church, and we'd share life together. And then all of a sudden, he just kind of quit coming. You know, and a lot of times we allow people to do that, and we don't really go looking for them. But sometimes there's people in our lives that mean a lot, and we go looking for them and try to figure out what's going on. And so I went and asked him. I said, "Hey, man, what's going on? You're not coming around." He said, "No, I'm doing good." I said, "Well, you know, you're not coming to church. I know. You're not hanging out with us anymore. Yeah, I know." I said, "Would you mind if I ask you why?" He said, "No, go ahead." I said, "Okay, why?" He said, "I got a half a gallon of milk in the refrigerator." I was like, "What? Is it bad?" He's like, "No, there's nothing wrong with it." I said, "Well, you got a half gallon of milk in the refrigerator." He said, "Yeah, I buy a new one every now and again." I said, "What does that have to do with you not coming to church and you not being a part of this group?" He goes, "Nothing, but one excuse is as good as another." So I'll leave you with this thought. If you're not part of a group, let me just ask you why. And if you don't have an excuse, use the same one that he used. You got a half a gallon of milk in the refrigerator. Because one excuse is just as good as another. Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you that you never quit on us. God, I don't know why. All the stupid stuff that we do, the stupid stuff that we say, you could have walked away at any moment. But you don't. You're not a God of one chance or second chance. You're a God of many chances. You're a God of great patience, long-suffering. You're a God who loves us enough, loves us where we are, but you love us so much you don't want to leave us there. And you love us so much, if that's where we want to stay, you'll say okay. I can't imagine the heartbreak, the pain of knowing that Jesus walked with somebody for 3 years. And that person couldn't see the good in Jesus. Father, help us to be more like Jesus and love them to the end. Journey together, help each other, because we're so much better together. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.